Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you, help us to hear your words, to not harden our hearts, but to open them up, to know you, to relish being a part of your kingdom, being called brothers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to look forward to that hope that is before us, to enter into your rest. Be with my words, may they be true to yours. May we as a people give you praise for the wonder of what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What are you thinking about this week? What have you thought about this week? You know, as you look back, what has captured your mind? Well, it may be, for some of you probably took care of one of the sure things in this world long ago. I worked on it yesterday. As Ben Franklin said in 1789, our new constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. So April 15th is coming tomorrow. I'm ready now. Hopefully all of you are too. But are you ready for the other thing that is sure in this world? Death. As we look at chapter 3 of Hebrews, and you'll go on with chapter 4, the writer tells us how we enter into his rest. How death doesn't need to have any more sting, as Paul says. But we can enter his rest. And how do we do that? Well, there's three things here that I'd like to go through. First, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Secondly, open your heart. Make sure it's not hardened. Open your heart. And third, believe. Consider Jesus. Open your heart and believe. I'd like to read 1 through 6 again as we consider Jesus. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Put your mind on Him. Set your mind on Him. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are His house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, what has come before? Well, the whole last chapter was talking about what Jesus did in sacrificing Himself on the cross for our sins and then calling us in as His brothers. We have a place in God's house because of what Jesus has done. And now He says, therefore, holy brothers, brings in the idea of brothers because God, Jesus has made us His brothers. Therefore, holy brothers, Paul will often use saints in that same way. You who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Well, how do we share in a heavenly calling? Well, first of all, our calling comes from God. God draws us to Himself. So it's where, heaven is where our calling comes from. God draws us to Himself. It's through the one who came down from heaven. As John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, he was being confronted and they were asking him about that other teacher on the other side of the river. What about him? John chapter 3, verses 25 to 36. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. John knew where he stood before Christ, and he knew where Christ came from. He goes on, he who comes from above is above all. He was of the earth, belongs to the earth, and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John the Baptist understood where Christ had come from. He understood that he had come from heaven, that he was the Son of his Father in heaven, that he was God. And he came to earth so that he could save his people from their sins. John understood that. And he understood that as Jesus increased, he had to decrease. Our heavenly calling is from God. The Father draws us to Himself. It's through Christ, the one who came from heaven and gave Himself for us. And it's also to heaven. Because we have that hope set before us that we can enter into God's rest as we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Consider Jesus. You who have a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Focus your mind on Him. Who is this Jesus? Well, he's an apostle. He was sent. He was sent from God. He was sent down to earth to save his people from their sins. He was one who was sent. And that's the meaning of the word apostle. And he's also a high priest, the high priest of our confession. He's a high priest in a way that no other priest fit. And the writer of Hebrews will deal with that very often as he goes through this book. And he looks at the sacrifice that Jesus made that is the culmination of all that God had promised and is the fulfillment of all that God had promised. He's an apostle. He's a high priest. Consider this Jesus. Consider this Jesus who was faithful. He was faithful over God's house. Now, the writer compares him to Moses. Moses was faithful. Numbers 12:7. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Moses was faithful. But he was faithful as an honored servant within the house. He was part of God's people. Jesus has a little different place. He's faithful as a son over the house. As a son who made the house. What is the house? It's the people of God. It's the church of Christ. He is faithful as a son over the house of God. He was even the one who made the house. We have salvation. We have a great salvation. Because Jesus Christ has brought us in to his kingdom, into his house. Moses was an honored servant in the house. The Son is over the house. He made the house. And he is now bringing us into that house so that we can be with him. Now note that it's Jesus who made the house. And who makes all things. Well, God makes all things. And it's very clear that the writer of Hebrews considers Jesus God. True man, true God, come to earth so that he could save us from our sins. The writer calls him God, calls him Christ, and calls him Jesus. Consider Jesus. We are in his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. The writer of Hebrews is very clear that some of the people that he's talking to may not make it. Does he believe in the perseverance of the saints? Yes, he does. But he's realizing that within the church, there are those who aren't truly putting their trust in Christ. They're like the seed that is put on the rocky soil, who springs up with joy, but then is burned up. Be careful that you're not one of those. There's many warnings in this book to consider your faith, to consider your salvation, to consider whether or not you're putting your trust in Jesus. We are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. F.F. Bruce puts it this way. The doctrine of the final perseverance of the saints has as its corollary the salutary teaching that the saints are the people who persevere to the end. Are you truly of the faith? Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Examine that. See whether that's true in your heart. Make sure that you haven't hardened your heart to him. Consider Jesus. Keep him on your mind. That will allow you to hold fast and will allow you to look to the hope that's there. So first of all, consider Jesus. Then open your heart. Make sure your heart is open. Verses 7 to 15. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, notice it doesn't say the writer of the psalm says, this is Psalm 95, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another, encourage one another, every day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as those in the rebellion. Today, now, don't harden your heart. Think about where your heart is right now. Don't harden your heart. If you hear his voice, it's not just words. It's not just hearing the voice. The people of God were standing before Mount Sinai and they heard God's voice. But they fell away. It's not just hearing the words. It's seeing the meaning of those words. It's seeing the import of hearing his voice, the voice that he gives to us through the scriptures. Where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. His words come from there. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't let your heart be like that stone. Make sure it's a pliable heart. Make sure that your heart is one that's seeking to soak in the things of God. And then is giving your life over to God. Do not harden your heart. Now, heart in Scripture is sometimes used of the mind, of how we're thinking. Sometimes it's used of our emotions. Sometimes it's used of just everything altogether. And I think that's the idea that's here. This is your mind, your soul, everything that is in you. Give it over to God. It needs to be living, depending on God, who has changed it from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Leon Morris writes, the writer uses the conduct of the Israelites as a means of challenging his readers to a closer walk with God. There was a promise in the Old Testament that God's people would enter his rest. The writer sees that promise fulfilled, not in the things of the Old Testament, but in Christ. As we look at the people of God, this is carried over. We see this image of the people of God coming out of the slavery in Egypt and going through the wilderness and then coming into the promised land, entering into the rest that's there. But that's just a picture of what God had for his people all along. To come out of slavery to sin, to go through the wilderness of this life, depending upon him, relying upon him, trusting in him, and then to enter into that promised land that he has for us, enter into his rest. Do we see some of that rest now? Sure, we should. As he takes care of us, as we rely upon him, as we trust in him, he takes care of us. And so we need to take care. Verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Look at your heart. We have a living God who is working in you. You should be seeing the fruit of that work as you live your life before him. Not only do we take care of ourselves, but we exhort or we encourage. The word's parakaleo here. It's to exhort or encourage each other. Make sure that you're doing that. Exhort one another, encourage one another every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day. As long as it is still called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Every day, as long as it's still called today. Now, remember, that points to the fact that today will be gone pretty soon. There will come a time when there will be no turning. If you're going to turn to Christ, if you're going to walk in his ways, you need to do it now. You need to do it today. You need to do it before he comes again and we stand before his throne in judgment. As long as it is still called today, do not harden your heart. The fact is that the world's moving away from many of the things of God. I was struck this week. A couple of us were talking about it yesterday. struck this week by a couple of different articles that came out that just sort of surprised me. One was from a Virginia paper. They came out with a new law in Virginia in regard to abortion clinics. And the writer of this article says that it's a heavy, heavy burden on women's health care centers to provide safe, legal, first trimester abortion along with vital reproductive health care and family planning services. Now, I'm not sure who the abortion is safe for, but it's definitely not the baby in the womb that is safe for that abortion. But what struck me about this was the they had some town hall meetings, and the percentage of people agreed that killing babies is okay. Of the final public comments submitted to the official Virginia Town Hall website, 81% were expressions of opposition to the regulations, while only 19% expressed approval. Public comments match wider public opinion. The majority of Virginians, 58%, opposed the proposed new regulations of women's health care centers. Now, what was so surprising was this article came out at the same time that a trial is going on in Pennsylvania. And I don't know if you've heard about that, but a guy named Dr. Kermit Gosnell had a clinic in Pennsylvania. And here are some of the things that are mentioned there. This hasn't been front page news until people started complaining that it's not about front page news. And then people realized, oh yeah, maybe it should be out there. Here are some of the things that were going on. Butchering babies that were already born and were older than the state's 24-week limit for abortions. One, the fact is, 24 weeks, who says one's murder and one's not? That's just someone coming up with an opinion. God says that He forms us in our wombs. In the womb. It's not about being pro-choice or pro-life, this article says. It's about basic human rights. What was going on in this trial? The testimony in the trial talks about infant beheadings. Live infants being beheaded. Severed baby feet being kept in jars in his office. A child screaming after it was delivered alive during an abortion procedure. These kinds of things were part of the testimony in this trial. And that came out at the same time that this other person is complaining and showing that people are okay with the abortion clinics and they don't feel they need to be regulated anymore. Those two just don't fit. They don't go hand in hand. We need to make sure that we're not just a part of public opinion. That we look to our God and seek to do the things that God calls us to do. We need to be vigilant, to take care, and make sure we're not moving away from Him. Do God's people sometimes harden their hearts and move away from Him? Well, back in Mark chapter 6:52, Jesus talks to His disciples. Mark 6:52. He says there, well, I'll start in 50. For they all saw Him and were terrified. Jesus was walking on the water. But immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They didn't see what God was doing. They didn't see what Jesus was doing in the miracle of the loaves and the fish. And they didn't understand that Jesus had the power over the seas. And then over in Mark chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Jesus, aware of this, well, I'll start in 14. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat, and He cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves of the 5,000 for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Do you see all that Jesus has done for you? Do you see all that God has done for you in sending a son to die on the cross for your sins? In bringing you in as brothers and sisters in Christ, in bringing you in as a people of God, he now calls you to live that out. Do you perceive? Do you understand? As we look at the hardness of heart there, Jesus talks about what it means to have a hardness of heart. It means to be blinded, to have eyes that don't see, to have ears that don't hear, to not see what God is doing in this world and how God is using you in this world. Not perceiving the things of God. Make sure your heart is soft. Make sure your heart is open so that you can see the truth, the things of God. Share Christ. We share Christ if we hold our original confidence firm unto the end. So consider Jesus, the Christ, and open your heart and believe. Verses 16 to 19, I'll read again. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Why did they not enter his rest? Well, they were people who rebelled. They were people who sinned. They were people who were disobedient. Was that why they didn't enter? Well, it was because of unbelief. But unbelief has its fruit in rebellion, in sin, in disobedience. Unbelief has its fruit. The corollary is also true. Faith has its fruit. What is the fruit of your faith in this life? What are you doing as a part of having a faith in Christ and then living it out? Faith has its result. Unbelief also has its result. The result of unbelief is rebellion, sin, and disobedience. The fruit of faith should be seen in your life lived for your Lord. Who heard and yet rebelled? It was unbelievable the things that this people saw. As they're standing before it, well, as they were in Egypt, they saw all the plagues. As they were brought out of Egypt, the Red Sea opens up. They're standing before Sinai, they see the fire. They see the cloud. They see manna coming down from heaven. And yet these are the people that rebelled. Don't be like them. Don't harden your heart. Instead, believe. See the wonder of what God is doing in your life and all around you. See the wonder of what God has done in His Son, whom He sent to die on the cross for your sin. Consider Jesus. Open your heart. Believe. And then you will be able to enter into His rest. Now that rest isn't just something waiting for us. There's a rest that we can have now in knowing our God. Karen shared with me this week a question from the Heidelberg Catechism, which I thought put this beautifully. The question asks, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Enter into his rest. Know the comfort. Know the peace that can only come as you recognize who Jesus is, the builder of the house, the savior of your soul, the one through whom we come into God's presence. Rest in him. Consider Jesus. Open your heart and believe, and then enter into his rest. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that you give us such a great salvation. Help us to trust completely in you and to enter into the rest that can only come as we trust you as our Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.